we are really going to go after this. Because this is what God gave you, Kristen, is very powerful for us to begin to see overeating the way God does. And this isn't to judge each other. If you're here and you know, hey, it's really obvious I have a weight issue, it could be medical, it could be whatever, do not feel like this is any way at all condemning. God wants to set you free. And what you need to see, when my son was very, very sick, and they always told us he would be really small his whole life, and, you know, he'd always be sickly, I would rebuke it every time they said it. And when people in the family would say, oh, he's just so, he looks so pale, he looks so sick, it was constant, folks, for years. And I would go before God and I would say, no, he doesn't, Lord. He's 6'1". He's tall. He's handsome. He's the right size for his build. And I would see him in the spirit healthy. And I would see him not looking pale. There were years when Mitchell was so sick, he was so pale. How many remember seeing Mitchell so pale? He looked like he would die any second. He had such little amount of blood. But I could not let my eyes see him the way Satan was trying to present him, okay? So if you have a weight issue, you need to quit seeing yourself heavy. You need to see yourself through faith. You need to really see yourself through faith. If you have an area that you're dealing with in these things, you need to see yourself whole. You need to see yourself without a foul spirit. You need to see yourself the way God created you to be. That doesn't mean, he doesn't want you to see yourself the way Hollywood wants you to be. That can be just as unhealthy, if not more unhealthy. But he wants you to see yourself the way he created you to be. You've got to see it first. It's just like healing. You've got to see it before you have it. When Mitchell's blood levels were very low, God would say, don't look at him, see them high. And so no matter what number the doctor would tell me, I'd see a high and healthy number. That wasn't denial. It was using my spirit mind. It was using that part of my spirit thinking to declare what God was saying. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, not yet seen. You need to begin to have faith for your health. You need to begin to have faith in these areas. Don't turn your weight over to the devil and let him make you thin with sickness, or let him make you sin with some horrible disease, thin with some horrible disease. You don't want to be thin at all expense. I mean, get a hold of some of the diseases that are out there. Oh, you'll lose the weight. This isn't about that. This is about God being in charge. Don't just say, God, no matter what, I want to be thin. That's not true. You don't want to be thin because you have AIDS. You don't want to be thin because of chemotherapy and cancer. So don't make outrageous bargains with God. Because when you bargain with God outside of his will, you're actually bargaining with the devil. He's the God of this world, and he listens for you to get desperate enough to try to make a deal with him. You don't want that. You don't want that. You want to be led by the Spirit of God. You want to begin to see yourself the way God sees you. You need to really begin to pray about that. God, let me really begin to see myself that way. It doesn't matter what the scale says. It doesn't matter what the mirror says. What matters, God, is what is in your heart and what you say I should be like. And wherever I'm not like that, because of that foul spirit, God, you're going to give me the answers. You're going to take me and show me the seeds. You're going to take me and show me where I got comfort from eating or whatever. If you were overfed or whatever happened, you can just go and forgive the person and ask God to break the power of what was sent. Each of them are different. There's to different degrees. You need to quit looking at magazine covers to tell you what you're supposed to look like, and instead go to God and see what you're supposed to look like. See where you feel healthy. If you try to do the diet thing, if you try to do something, it's just more bondage. Be led of the Spirit. Begin each thing you do. Each thing you do, say, God, give me grace. Show me. Show me how to be more active. Show me how to eat right. Each meal, instead of, you know, Lord, thank you for this food and give me more of it, sit there and say, Lord, I ask you when I order off of this menu, Holy Spirit, show me what my body needs. And then make it fill me. And then ask the Lord. Don't take some pill to make you not feel hungry. Say, Lord, would you come and help me to stop eating the minute my body doesn't need any more food? Get your body back under the control of the Holy Spirit. Don't try something. And if you mess up, don't go into condemnation. There's none in Christ. Say, well, you know what? For 5 days, I did really good for myself. And then I blew it. But you know what? That was 5 days I did good. So I'm starting again. And maybe I'll go 7 days. One thing about fasting, and I think the same thing about dieting or whatever, when you do something, live for the now. If you have such long-term goals and you're living for such a futuristic time, it's so easy to give up. I like what Pastor Heflin used to say about fasting. He said, Lord, am I supposed to eat this meal yet? And he never declared how long he was going to fast. He never told other people, so there wasn't pressure on him to prove anything. I won't say never, but this is how he taught it. But he would just say, do I feel released from this fast? Well, you need to do that about to break a habit. I think I'm preaching the whole conference, aren't I? Well, I didn't know any of this, so this is good. It gets me on the right thinking. Think about it. To break a habit, you need to make a specific thought pattern to ask God to be in charge. What a habit is where God's not in charge. You just do something out of habit or out of a bondage. But then you need to ask God to be in charge. So let's say if it's smoking, if your addiction is smoking, when you get ready to light that up, don't just do it. Stop and say, God, is this something I should be doing? Is this going to benefit me? Is this what you would have me to do? And sit there and have a conversation with the Holy Spirit about it. And he's going to tell you no. And then if you still give in, you say, Lord, please help me get past this. Because now I know I'm blatantly sinning against you, but I'm going to trust you. There's no condemnation in him. But if you begin to have that conversation, same thing when you eat. God, how much of this before? Lord, help my body to tell me. Help me to my body to get back in charge and you in charge, Holy Spirit, to tell me that I don't need this much. God knows if you don't eat enough and you've used to eating a lot, you're going to be so starving, you're going to be hitting the ice cream by 9 o'clock. And he would rather you eat two more salads. Everyone's going to be different, but just start to trust God in it. Go after the root, whatever the addiction is, whatever the foul spirit thing is, if it's something in the lines. Tonight we're talking about eating and drinking and addictions that way that has a foul spirit. And take it little steps at a time, folks. That's how you break a habit anyway. We're going to destroy the yoke of a habit, but it's by thinking and bringing God into it, not condemnation. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is such a helper and such a friend that he'll really sit there and he'll say, you know, you told me to convict you when you weren't eating right, and I'm convicting you right now, but I love you, and we're going to deal with what the root issue is. You know, you eat like this because this is something you have in common with your spouse, and for some reason, you feel like you need to do this for them. And God says, if they don't want to come to me about it, doesn't mean you need to do this. And then you're going to have to rise up and say, oh, somebody like, well, gosh, if the food's not in the house, I won't eat it. But you may have to have the food in the house for somebody else. So you're just going to have to break the power of that lie. If the food's in the house, I still don't have to eat it. Some people, if you have a bag of cookies, they're gone in the day. I have a bag of cookies that last 2 months. You got to throw them away because they're stale. It's a lie that a bag of cookies can't be in the house. The bag of cookies can be in the house. Ice cream can be in the house. I don't even like any of that stuff much. You can also stop. You need to start thinking about it. When you're eating, think about it. Ask God to help you. If you're not hungry, don't eat that last piece of pizza just because it's there. It's okay to throw it away. You cannot ship it to Africa. Don't come into condemnation. It's not going to help them who don't have food if you put two more pieces of pizza in your mouth. Those are all ridiculous things that people have bought into very subconsciously that Satan uses to keep us unhealthy. Now listen, this is do not mix with people who drink or people who are gluttonous and eaters of meat. For the drunkard and the glutton will come to poverty. Drowsiness will clothe a man with rags. So this drunkard or this addiction will eventually just take all your money. And alcoholics and drug addicts, we see them as coming to poverty. They spend all their money on that. But folks, people with a real spirit of gluttony will begin to spend all their money and energy on eating. And then the obesity will set in and cause them to not have the energy that they would have if they were eating healthy. And that will cause them to lose jobs. And that will cause poverty, because if you don't work, you don't eat, according to the Word of God. So you need to see where all these are purposely sent to destroy your self-esteem. They're purposely sent to make you feel like something's wrong with you and it wasn't fair the metabolism God gave you. Let me say this. Quit blaming stuff like family history and medical things and all that kind of stuff. You have been freed from the curse. Generational curses, family curses. You know, when they tell you to fill out that thing and they say, are there heart attacks in your family? I put, used to be. I mean, when Mitchell was sick and they kept trying to tell us it was a generational thing. I mean, I had to be so very careful not to be in agreement with that just to make the doctors happy on their piece of paper. And even now they'll say, you know, what disease do you have or whatever. And I won't put it on there. I don't really care if they think I'm a fanatic. I am. I'm a fanatic in love with Jesus, and I believe his word. And he redeemed my son from family curses. He redeemed him. I don't even believe we ever had it. But I wouldn't come agreement with it on paper. I know medical people don't like this, but you can if you have to write, before Christ, this was in our family. I'm serious. Don't just sit there and think it doesn't matter. What you put in paper, what you write matters. And I got doctors there going, oh, no. I'm not saying lie. You can say my past family history and you can circle past was. You don't have to preach at them or anything. You just need to know when you're writing it that you're saying this is what it was before Christ. And you can sit there and say, this is what the devil had planned for me. But Christ has set me free from this. My mother might have died from breast cancer, but that was before Christ. My father might have died from heart attack, but that was before Christ. I bet you probably that happened to my parents. It's not true. Do you see what I'm saying? Oh, does anybody in your family have diabetes? Well, anyone who does have diabetes can be set free by the blood of the Lamb. You have to believe that. You have to, in your own thinking, believe that there is a line drawn between you and curses. And you no longer have that line of curses above you. You have to see it, folks. You have to believe it. You have to break the power of that foul spirit. And if you can't believe this and you've bought into the lie, and your first thing is you need to go to God and really renew your mind. It doesn't matter what my mother had. It doesn't matter what my father has. It doesn't matter what my grandparents had. The only thing about that is an indicator to me is what Satan would have liked to have done to me had I not known Christ. And that's got to be real. That has to be real. And never, ever claim it. And don't think it's simple. I can write it and cross my fingers and not mean it. I mean, they sat me down in a room at NIH, and it was so spiritual, it was unbelievable, and tried to make me sign a paper saying that my son should get a certain test because of a disease that ran in my family. And guy kept telling me he didn't have that disease. And I wouldn't sign it. And they gave me the hardest time. They even got my husband involved. They tried to get my son involved. They brought nurses in. It was like I committed a crime. And they're all surrounding me. They left me in this little room where all I could sit on was a hospital bed. They didn't even have a chair in there. They waited till I'd been there all day. We'd gotten there at 7 in the morning or something like that. And it was like 5 at night. The whole office was closing down. Everybody was cleaning around us. And then they bring these papers in and say, I want you to sign this. And I had no peace. I had no peace. I was being so intimidated. I believe with all my heart to this day, had I signed those papers, my son would have had that disease. And we would have a different outcome. Don't think that what you're doing isn't spiritual. Don't think that it doesn't matter. Don't think you can cross your fingers and make it go away. You need to stand up for righteousness, and you need to stand up for truth, and not in some fake way of, I'm just going to name it, claim it, a real heart-to-heart with God to declare, God, this is what you showed me. And find one of the tapes where I really talk about what happened in that trial, and you'll really see how intense that was. You don't get victories, folks, just by wanting them. You need to do this thing God's way. You need to have the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord says, if I say that this is in my family, then I discount the cross that destroyed this from being something in my family. If I come in agreement with a family curse, if I come in agreement, what do they call it? They don't call it family curse. What do they call it medically? Family history. What did somebody say? I think hereditary. Genetic predisposition. See, if you agree with that, that's intellect agreeing with what the devil says instead of faith agreeing with what God says. God says, now, let me tell you this. If Satan did these things in your past to your family members, it's serious business. And he's not just going to hop away and get out of the situation because you say, I've been redeemed from the curse. You may have to go and find out what doors were open for them that led to those things and close those doors. So I don't want this to sound like a formula where you can just say this. You need to go and say, Lord, show me. Get you, Lord, in the gifts of the Spirit, operate to show me how Satan brought this into our family. Operate to show me in the gifts of the Spirit, revelation knowledge, show me. You know, how he was able to attack my father with this or my mother with this. Show me what doors were open in our family so I could close them over my life. In my family, my grandmother died of a heart attack. And if anyone's ever seen me cast out demons way back before I got into some of this, there's a couple times I almost had a heart attack while I was doing it. I mean, I would literally feel something squeezing my heart so tight it was about to burst. But I didn't stop. I just went after that devil and broke the power of the thing. But later I'd ask God, why was the devil doing that? And Karen had some dream or something about me dying of a heart attack and break the power of that happening. But God was warning, Satan really wants to do this in your life. Well, as I've walked through this trial with Mitchell about his blood and getting free from this family curse or whatever this thing is that they tried to say was a family curse, but really about our Indian heritage, which is where it came in at, I had no idea at the same time I was breaking the power of that Indian heritage, where that's my grandmother was Indian, and she's the one who had the heart attack. Whew. So here I thought I was going through all this for Mitchell to be healed, but truthfully, I actually went through that so that I wouldn't end up fighting a heart attack later on. And so when God showed me, you got victory over the family history of that Satan had planned for you because you went after these things that opened that door. If somebody died, if somebody went insane from spirit of fear, if these things happen, know that Satan's going to try to get those things into your life. And it's not just a little prayer. It's a sincere, Lord, show me how to break this off of my family. And you may go through a trial. You may be walking through something. I've never seen the Lord take somebody through something for somebody else that he wasn't helping them find a victory. You know, a cancer is so much related to bitterness. So you need to deal with that. Don't be afraid of cancer, but don't just say a little prayer, I can never have cancer because I'm a Christian. No, you need to say, God, show me why that was in my family. And Lord, give me the gifts of the Spirit to operate in me and through me to go after that thing. And then have ears to hear. You know, God, and we'll talk about this more on Friday night, but God really takes you on some real hunts to find that treasure.